Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
I feel the need for a classic today. Maybe something a little bit scary. What do you think?
Something scary?
Maybe.
Okay. I don't think anything in this episode is actually scary to me.
No, but the originals were kind of scary. If you're a kid.
Yeah. We'll get to it. Before we get started, I'll remind you guys, please rate, review, subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you listen to us. It really helps us out, gets more attention to the podcast, gets us more listeners. We really appreciate it. Just takes a few moments, and we would appreciate it greatly. Right, Matt?
Indeed, we would. We would thank you profusely by making more of these episodes.
There you go. This week's episode is Treehouse of Horror, number 3, episode 9F04, originally aired October 29th, 1992, written by Al Jean and Mike Reese, Jay Kogan and Wallace Wolodarski, and Sam Simon and John Vitti, respectively, the three segments. It was directed by Carlos Baeza. Originally broadcast, it finished 20th in the ratings, Nielsen rating of 14.7, approximately 13.7 million viewing households, highest rated show on Fox that week, beating In Living Color. No chalkboard gag, the couch gag, the family's skeletons run in and sit on the couch, which is fine. It's good. I like it.
It's very thematic.
Appropriate. The episode begins with a faux Hitchcockian intro. The subtle joke is that Homer is actually fatter than Hitchcock, but he doesn't really come across that well, but he ends up just taunting the viewer instead of warning them, as Marge has been doing the past couple.
Did you just call everyone chicken?
No.
Of course not. But the framing mechanism for this is a Halloween party where Bart is dressed as Alex from A Clockwork Orange, which is frighteningly appropriate for Bart. Lisa is the Statue of Liberty. I think the only one that stood out to me was Milhouse was the Flash, I want to say.
I didn't notice.
Okay. He's either the Flash or just a really bad radioactive man, because they have the same colors. But I think it was the Flash.
That's true. Okay, if you say so. You're right, though. Their costumes look remarkably similar.
Yeah, they're both red and yellow, skin tight. It's Milhouse, so he's...
Lightning bolts.
Yeah, lightning bolts. It's hard. But one of the two. And Homer is supposed to be Caesar, but of course his toga gets ripped off. They do the body part game, you know, where you turn the lights off and you tell the scary story and you pass, like... grapes without skin, and it's supposed to be eyeballs. You pass, like, spaghetti, and it's hair. You pass, like, a piece of pork, and it's, like, a brain or something. You ever play that game, Matt?
I cannot say that I have.
It's fun. It's, you know, it's a simple, fun game.
When you're a kid, you don't know the game.
No, even as an adult, I played it. It was fun.
Okay.
All right, I'm sensing some judgment over there.
Just a little bit. I guess my imagination is not quite as good as yours, I suppose.
That must be it. It's just my crazy imagination is so good that, right? Right.
It has to be.
Yeah. But
you're the writer, after all.
Oh, yes. You know, all those things I've written. All those published. All those novels, right?
Yes. All those published novels, you know, the hundreds of magazine articles, you know.
Magazine?
Yeah, it's this thing. It's what websites used to be called.
Oh, okay. But Homer ruins the game, eats all the food items as they get to him, and so then they decide to start just telling scary stories. And I believe Lisa starts us off, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yes, with a story called Clown Without Pity. It is Bart's birthday. Homer forgets to get him a present. But so to get him a present, of course, his first stop is the House of Evil. Because that's where I go.
Well, it is Bart, after all.
I guess it is a present for Bart. It makes sense. He asks the fine shopkeep, who they were modeling after the guy in Gremlins, if you know what I'm talking about, Matt.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And he picks out a Krusty the Clown doll, and they have the infamous exchange about the doll and frozen yogurt and sprinkles.
Take this object. But beware, it carries a terrible curse.
Ooh, that's bad.
But it comes with a free Frogurt.
That's good.
The Frogurt is also cursed.
That's bad.
But you get your choice of topping.
That's good.
The toppings contain potassium benzoate. That's bad.
Can I go now?
That's bad.
Hey, we still use potassium benzoate, so meh.
I don't think it's that bad, really, is it?
Nah, not really.
Okay. It's a chemical. I put a lot of them on my body.
That's true. Technically, everything is a chemical. If you drink water, you're drinking a chemical.
That's true. That's true. But he takes the talking Krusty doll. Wait one second. So he gives the talking Krusty doll to Bart. And Bart is actually very effusive with his praise. He's very happy with his gift.
It does seem kind of like the thing that one of those things what Bart would really love is a talking Krusty doll. I mean, I'm surprised he doesn't have one already.
Maybe this is a new item, or maybe it was exclusive to a certain time period.
That's true.
It's possible. But we soon find out that the Krusty the Clown doll is indeed cursed.
I'm Krusty the Clown, and I don't like you. I'm Krusty the Clown, and I'm going to kill you.
Didn't even pull the string that time.
I said I'm going to kill you. You, Homer Simpson!
Oh, yeah? With what?
Homer, what's wrong?
That doll tried to kill me.
I'd say that the pressure's finally gotten to Dad, but what pressure?
What pressure?
Yeah, exactly. And we see, actually, we see the Krusty doll actually has a personality. It's shacked up with Malibu Stacy and her in her dream house, Lisa's dollhouse for Malibu Stacy. Homer eventually is tired of the doll, trying to murder him, and he throws him into a bottomless pit along with a dead body from some gangsters and a box of naked pictures of Whoopi Goldberg. Which the pit returns, of course.
Not even the pit wants that.
The Krusty comes back, and actually in a reference to Cape Fear, where he's strapped to the bottom of the car, which they do again later on with Sideshow Bob. He tries to kill Homer again, and he's not so subtle this time. And Marge actually catches him in the act.
Marge, look! The doll's trying to kill me and the toaster's been laughing at me. Ew, dog water.
The toaster's been laughing at me.
Oh, that gets me every time.
I know, it's so good. But while Homer struggles with the doll, Marge calls the hotline that's on the box. And a technician comes by and looks at it and says, oh, here's your problem. It's been switched to evil. He switches it.
You know, you'd think that would be one of those things where they could just walk you through over the phone. Hey, check the switch on the back of the doll. Oh, okay. Yep, got switched to evil. Shucks. We should have hard-coded these at the factory.
It's just like, a cable company, Matt. The technician on the line doesn't know what to do. They just send a person out there. They don't. It's too much work for them. They got to keep their call times down.
That's true.
But the Krusty doll is turned good. It becomes a slave to Homer, who mistreats it. And we go to commercial with the doll now settling into a 9-to-5 existence with Malibu Stacy in her dollhouse.
And her head gets knocked off a couple times. That's okay. He doesn't mind.
No, it's okay. You can put her back on.
Only that worked for real people.
What? You have something to...
Only you do the real people.
You have something to tell me, Matt? You have some troubles with people's their head falling off?
No, I'm just saying, if something terrible should happen and someone's head gets knocked off, only you could just put it back on with a little twist like he does with his.
Mm-hmm.
You might still be with your first wife if that was true.
We don't talk about that, Matt.
Okay,
fair enough. X-nay on the Ed Day White Ifeway?
Ifeway, yes.
There we go.
All right. And that is the end of our first story.
Mm-hmm.
When we come back from commercial, we see Grandpa interrupting and saying, ah, that wasn't scary. And Bart, in an attempt to placate the old man, says, oh, Grandpa, you've lived an interesting life. In one of Grandpa's best lines, that's a lie and you know it, but I have seen a lot of movies.
Exactly.
We see the beginning of King Homer, which is a very obvious King Kong ripoff, but it's really good. It starts out with Marge showing up to the pier where Mr. Burns and Smithers are looking about for a woman to essentially be bait.
At the pier. That's perfect. Just waiting.
Yes.
At the pier. Just waiting. They're not even actively doing it. They put out an ad and they just sit and wait by a boat.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, hey, just swing by the harbor if you want to go. Non-smoker preferred. That's Marge to a T. You know?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Of course, brain got flip-flopped. We see Burns and Smithers talk about it, and we see Mr. Burns ask Smithers what he thinks.
What do you think, Smithers?
I think women and semen don't mix.
We know what you think. Young lady, you're hired.
We definitely know what
we know what you Smithers think. We know what you think. And I'm amazed that got past the censors, honestly.
Yeah, I know, right? They were trying to keep it a little on the down low at this point, and nope, right out there in the open in this particular case.
I know. I mean, I was gonna, like, I understand that it could be viewed the other way, obviously, like a man who is out to sea, but
yeah.
Come on. Come on. Where are they headed, Matt? Where are they headed?
They're headed to Ape Island. We actually see a great conversation.
Not Candy Apple Island?
Not Candy Apple Island, where they have apes, but they're not quite so big.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, poor Charlie, Lenny, and Carl have a great conversation about the difference. But once they land, Marge asks, oh, am I going to... am I landing on the island with you? And Burns has a great bit where he goes, oh, we wouldn't dream of leaving the bathing beauty. I covered that up pretty well.
He did. He did. It worked. Marge, it was none the wiser.
I'm pretty sure she was. But anyway.
Well, so she willingly went on the island to get eaten, or supposedly eaten by a giant ape?
We never said Marge was smart. Observant, but not smart. She's wise, but not intelligent.
Marge is smart. She tutored Homer. She has
high wisdom, low intelligence.
That's not true. She's what is the high intelligence, low? What did you say? High wisdom, low.
Is it high wisdom, low intelligence?
What is that? Like a wizard, sorcerer?
It's like street smart. That's high intelligence is a wizard. That would be like so a bard or something like that.
A bard. Mm. I guess that's right. Marge would be a bard, wouldn't she?
She would. She's a great artist.
She's an artist. Yeah.
Anyway, back to the episode.
Well, we have to cast. We'll do a bonus episode where we do the entire cast and we give them classes in D&D.
That would be so amazing.
We'll go through all 5 million characters and give them all a class.
Get a lot of stupid fighters, I think, in Springfield.
Rogues. Anyway. I think a surprisingly high amount of rogues.
That's true. It's true. Lucky with our alignments and everything too.
Yeah, neutral good, chaotic evil.
Lots of chaotic evil in Springfield.
I think it's mostly chaotic neutral, honestly.
I'd say Quimby was definitely be lawful neutral, but I think Dolph, Jimbo, and Kearney are right. That'd be pretty much chaotic evil. Mr. Burns is lawful evil, though, definitely.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway,
save this for a bonus episode.
Right. We see the natives of the island who are shouting, Mosi Tutupu, Mosi Tutupu, which apparently is a joke, and I have to believe that Jay Kogan and Wallace Walidarsky are big football fans, because every episode that they write seems to have something about football in it, because Mosi Tutupu was a Samoan football player in the NFL in the late 80s, early 90s. So I guess they were just trying to sneak that in there.
For the Patriots, most famously. He's a fullback.
Really? I'm surprised you knew that.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy that I know things, right?
Well, especially football from the late 80s. That's kind of obscure.
I was 4, 5.
That's pretty smart for a 5-year-old.
I also can read Wikipedia pages, Matt.
I suppose if you want to cheat about it.
That's not cheating.
Anyway.
It's research.
The natives immediately capture Marge because no one tries to save her, and her hair makes her kind of stick out. And they offer her up as a sacrifice to Homer, who we see as a giant ape fighting a dinosaur. And they smash a big gong to tell him that dinner's ready.
Yeah. He fights a dinosaur. It's pretty cool. He fights a dinosaur.
That's true. It's funny because it looks like a really crappy dinosaur, like a Flintstones dinosaur. And unfortunately, Homer gets his butt kicked because the dinosaur bites him when he hears his dinner bell ring.
Well, it's an I think it's a purposeful homage to the original King Kong, which is black and white and used, you know, bad claymation.
If you've never seen the 1930s version of King Kong, go see it. It's actually not that bad. The 70s version is actually worse.
What about the 2005 Peter Jackson version, Matt? What are we putting that?
Between those two.
In between those two?
Mm. Yeah, probably not as good as the 30s version. It's close, though. I mean, it's surprisingly good. It's set as a period piece in the 30s.
Did we need a 15-minute scene of King Kong ice skating?
Okay, probably not, okay. But, you know.
How about the scene where they fight giant bugs?
Of course, you have to show that Monster Island has lots of monsters on it, or Ape Island. I actually called Monster Island in the real movie.
Well, okay, I just want to say that movie didn't need to be 3 hours long. That's a very long movie.
Anyway, Homer shows up to eat Marge or whatever, because he never actually tries to eat Marge ever. She is their sacrifice to him. And of course, the semen attack, and Lenny is immediately eaten despite his request not to be. Smithers takes him out with a gas bomb after Burns fails with his gas bomb. And right when Mr. Burns tells Smithers he's getting a raise, Homer eats Smithers too. So save Mr. Burns the money. Despite being asleep, he somehow eats somebody. We then see Mr. Burns take Homer back to the mainland with the surviving sailors and Marge, who they rescue, surprisingly enough. And we see, once again, an homage to King Kong. Homer is on a stage where we learn about a particular lineup for the evening.
What kind of show you got for us, Mr. Burns?
Well, the ape's going to stand around for 3 hours or so. Then we'll close with the ethnic comedy of Dugan and Dershowitz.
Sensational!
Doesn't that sound like a very exciting show? Yep, he's just going to stand there in chains.
There was a lower set of expectations in the 30s.
I suppose.
I mean, seeing a giant monkey for 3 hours was very exciting. There's no television.
That's true. It's better than staring at a wall for 3 hours, I guess, or contracting an STD.
Why is that where you go to, Matt? Is that's the comparison? A lot of things are better than contracting STDs.
That's true, but that's kind of what people did back then. They drank, they had sex, usually without any type of protection, and they stared at the walls. And I guess in the 30s, they listened to the radio a little bit.
They went to shows, like the show that they're putting on with the giant monkey.
That's what I'm saying. If you don't go to a show like that, those are your other options for the evening.
You could read a book.
Most people were illiterate back then.
Is that scientific?
I have no idea.
Okay, good. That's good.
Anyway, Homer breaks free, because of course he does, and he immediately just punches his way out the back of the theater, which crumbles, and he then starts to, you know, eat a few people. He eventually finds Marge and Mr. Burns in an apartment on a building somewhere. He reaches in and grabs Marge, and there's a great homage when he grabs Marge to the incredibly fake hand they use in the 1930s version, because it's literally a completely stiff hand that's pulling Marge out, and she's screaming, and it's so terrible, but it's an exact remake of the scene from the 1930s movie. We then see Homer attempt to climb a building. However, it being Homer instead of the real King Kong, he takes forever and eventually gets tired, falls off the building, and the planes have to go refuel. Luckily, Marge takes pity on him, marries him, because at the wedding, Homer eats Marge's father instead of Patty and Selma, which I think was a lot of restraint on his part, I guess. And that's how it pretty much ends. They get married, Marge's dad gets eaten, and she just goes, "Oh, Homer," and happy ending.
So happy when he eats his father-in-law.
Yeah, it's weird, but you know, it was funny. It was. I don't think it's as good as the other two acts in this particular one, but it was a good homage. Lots of funny jokes and tie-ins to the Simpsons universe.
Yeah, I agree. This is one of the strongest trials of horrors for sure.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the Frogert bit alone is legendary.
Yes, and The third story is told by Bart. It is Dial Z for Zombies, which is a clear homage to Night of the Living Dead and all the mostly Romero zombie movies, but of course the other ones. There's even at this point there were still a lot of zombie movies, and we have only accelerated in that path. Let's make more. I do want to mention that before they go into the story, Flanders shows up at the house with an amazing costume.
Flanders is a practical effects wizard.
I know. He has like a decapitated head, and it's and like his head's underneath everything, and it shoots blood out of the stump. Pretty awesome. But the story begins with Lisa mourning the loss of Snowball 1. Technically starts with Bart getting detention and then ending up in the library in the occult section and finds like an occult book. It's like magic spells, evil magic, black magic, I suppose.
Of course, every school library should have that section.
I guess.
The Harry Potter library did.
Well, the Harry Potter library, who knows? Springfield is actually set in Hogwarts. They've done that in a Treehouse of Horror, so
One that wasn't nearly as good as this.
No, that's true. But Lisa's mourning the loss of Snowball One, who's been, but she's been gone for 4 years. I don't, even at the time of this, I guess, and she's still sad. I mean, I miss my dead pets, but I don't know about being crying over them. But Bart thinks maybe they can use this book to bring her back.
Hey, maybe there's a spell in here that'll bring her back from the dead. Let's see what we've got. How to get your skeletons their whitest, selling your soul in a buyer's market. Ah, here we are. How to raise the dead.
So,
if you don't do the laugh, it's not right.
Yes, exactly. They take the book to the pet cemetery, and Bart wears a Thriller album cover on his head, because that's what you do.
Because the cassette cover was too small.
It would not fit. You have to get the LP, the full vinyl. He recites, I believe, the first time it is game show hosts and supermarkets. That's correct.
Yes,
right?
the first time.
The first time. He recites those two things, a series of them. And it works, just not the way they want it to. Instead of bringing Snowball One back from the dead, instead just raises a whole bunch of zombies. All the zombies in the town, I guess. All the people who've ever died in Springfield, including Shakespeare. Shakespeare is apparently buried in Springfield.
And George Washington.
At least that's, like, not a... That was a couple hundred years, and it was the same continent.
They obviously... they didn't come up from the ground. They burrowed through the center of the earth to get here.
Maybe it's just... It doesn't matter. It's stupid. But they go back to Homer, worried about what they've done.
Dad, we did something very bad.
Did you wreck the car?
No.
Did you raise the dead?
Yes.
But the car's okay.
Uh-huh.
All right, then.
So good. And zombies you see the zombies sweep through the town. They kill and eat Flanders, or at least bite him, because he comes back later. But, you know, we get Groundskeeper Willie seeing zombies. The family tries to prepare by boarding up the house. Of course, Homer has forgotten, and they invade the house. He's actually quite heroic in the moment, as he's willing to sacrifice himself to let his family escape. But they quickly gather. He has no brains for them to eat, so they let him go.
He knew that. That's why he offered.
It was an empty gesture. It was strategy. That's game theory there. But they go to make their escape, and at some point Homer has grabbed a pump action shotgun. And as they're leaving, Flanders, the zombie Flanders, makes an appearance.
Hey Simpson, I'm feeling a mite peckish. Mind if I chew your ear?
Dad, you killed the zombie Flanders.
He was a zombie?
Homer. Willing to murder his neighbors. But that's right up there with the Froger conversation. Those two things alone. It's like some of the most famous quotes in Simpsons history, really. And they're in the same episode, so that's pretty remarkable. They figure out that maybe if they get the book or get another book, and maybe it'll have a spell that it's this is are they already have the book, right? So they have to be getting a new book, right? Okay.
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know. The book they grab seems to be very similar, but
they left it behind, maybe?
It doesn't matter. They go back to the school, back to the library. We see Homer kill George Washington, Einstein, and Shakespeare. Because apparently they are all buried in Springfield. And they're all zombies.
Yep.
Even though Shakespeare's body would be long rotted away. Be nothing but skeleton. They find a book. Bart first reads TV Detectives. And Lisa turns into a snail. But then he reads Condom Brands. Which reverses Lisa back into human form. And sends all the zombies back into their graves. At least the ones that weren't killed, I think. They all just go back, turn around, and go back to their graves and rebury themselves, which is very courteous of them.
Yeah, otherwise it'd just be, bodies rotting in the street. That'd be terrible.
Which is what all the dead zombies are, rotting in the street, as Mayor Quimby reveals. And then the family rejoices in the fact that they haven't turned into zombies.
Well,
I'm sure glad we didn't turn into mindless zombies.
Shh! TV!
Man, fall down. Funny.
Which, that's how the episode ends. Really kind of, you know, funny turn there.
It's a very, very important warning to not watch TV.
Don't watch the show. Don't watch television except for The Simpsons, apparently.
That's right. No TV except for The Simpsons. They're the only thing you're allowed to watch.
Okay, you guys, now go to your room. But yeah, like Matt already said, this is one of the best Treehouse of Horrors. It's up there with some of the, I mean, all of these are very solid. All of them have tons of jokes. Even the frame story is kind of is fun. Just there's a Halloween party. You know, Treehouse of Horrors are already always weird to rank, but this is some of the best ones. So it'd be tricky.
Yep. I mean, it's obviously the best of the Treehouse of Horrors, but where it fits in the overall scheme is going to be a tough one.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it goes. We'll figure it out. We're smart, right?
Sure.
So, we will rank it at the end of the show, as we are wont to do. Let's see, before we continue, please keep sending in my favorite episode submissions. None for this episode, but please, got tons of great ones coming up. Simply send in to our email, which is simpsonshowpod@gmail.com, about what episode is your favorite and why, and I'll read it on air. I always like to see, it's always interesting seeing people's, you know, their kind of stories about why a particular episode is their favorite. It's always really interesting to me. Next up, time for comments from the news group. Comments from the news group.
Okay, here we are. Alt.nerd.obsessive.
Not much this week. Again, the normal stuff is always there. People, you know, these are all the references, which is quite remarkable considering that it, like, these people post like an hour after the show's aired and they know every single thing in it. Like, even the
I feel like people who are Simpsons fans at this point were the people who watched movies endlessly and knew everything about them because they didn't want to go outside and, you know, talk to other people. Which I feel a kinship with.
Yeah, I was about to say, that sounds exactly like me. Like, I don't... Going outside is overrated, honestly. But one thing I did find that was happening was that Oprah actually interviewed the family in this week. The week this aired. They did a little pre-recorded bit where she, you know, they telegraphed... She had her questions ready, and, you know, they animated them answering the question, and, you know... Back and forth. So I think I remember seeing a little bit of that, at least. It's fun. Fun little moment having Oprah, one of the most powerful women on Earth. Talk to animated characters. But not a bunch else. You guys can track this stuff down if you want to. You can search the archives of the old Simpsons news group. It's alt.tv.simpsons on Google Groups. If you Google it, you'll find it. You can do archive searches back to where it started, almost near the beginning of the show. No listener question this week, or the past week, I should say. When you're listening to this, I probably am just back in Orlando from a week in Portland and enjoying myself and eating donuts. So, I thank you for all your suggestions about what to do in Portland, even though I haven't gotten any yet. But I know I will, because the new episode hasn't gone up yet, so you guys don't even know to tell me things. But regardless, I do have a question for next week. And this is actually under a suggestion from Chris, longtime fan of the show, who he actually posted a little bit about what his answer would be, which I'm going to save for next week's episode when we read the answers. But he got the idea from Everything's Coming Up podcast, which is Allie's friend of the show, Allie Gertz's Simpsons podcast, where she talks to comedians and various people about what their favorite episode of The Simpsons is. And they often talk about this, but we're making officially a question of the week is, how would you end the show? How would you end The Simpsons? What would your last episode be, so to speak? And I think it's interesting, especially with the recent news of Harry Shearer's departure. A lot of people talking about the show is, predicting the end of the show, even though I'm dubious about that. But regardless, how would you end the show? And I don't know how I'd end it yet. I have an idea, a rough idea, but I'm going to have to really think about it.
Everybody dies. That's the obvious answer.
Do pull a Hamlet. Just everyone just stabs each other. Poisons. Yep. Poison and knives everywhere. Just Game of Thrones it.
Yep. No one ever knew that Shakespeare just didn't want to write the sequel. That's the reason he killed everyone in Hamlet.
Hamlet 2. Let's get this party started.
I was trying to think of a good one, but that's great.
Let's see. Well, let's see. I'll post that question on our social media. It's on, you can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/SimpsonsShowPod. And you can email us again at SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Answer any of those places. I will be posting it. You know, keep your eyes out. Also, I like to post random Simpsons stuff I find, which I think I've tuned my social media to the point where it just comes to me now. I think the Google has figured out. And cookies. I have all the Simpsons cookies. That's how it works, right, Matt? I search for Simpsons enough that and Facebook just attunes itself to me, right?
That's true. Your entire feed is nothing but Simpsons news all the time.
It seemingly is. But no listener question. We can get right next to get to our next segment. Talking is hard. The No Google Trivia Challenge.
I am too smart. I am too smart. SMRT. I mean SMART.
The No Google Trivia Challenge is where Matt and I will each bring three trivia questions, one easy, one medium, one hard, try and stump the other. I have new apps that can open this type of file.
Thank goodness for that.
Yeah, it's very important, they tell me. Matt, go first. Hit me. No theme this week.
All right. No theme. You might not have a theme, but I have a theme, so hopefully you can guess it.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Your easy question, where did the Simpsons get Santa's Little Helper?
The racetrack, the dog track.
And when?
Christmas Eve.
Oh, wasn't that sweet?
It was. It was charming.
It was. It was a great first episode. Your shot.
How much does Bart sell his soul for?
Ooh. I believe it was $20. $5.
$5, man. You can't get an easy question like that?
No.
Oh, man. Shame. Shame on you and your family.
I know. I'm awful.
Okay. Here's a redemption question. What does Milhouse spend the money on?
Alf Pogs, obviously.
He's back. In Pog form.
In Pog form.
Okay, man. I've already shamed you and your family, so I don't. There's not much else I can do in this one. But I mean, with the medium one, maybe you can try and maybe if I fail the rest of my questions and all the easy ones for all time, you'll eventually, you know.
That's true. You're definitely not getting my hard one, but here's the medium one. You might have a shot at this.
Oh, okay.
In Bart Gets an Elephant, what was the other option for the prize? And as a bonus question, what type of elephant was Stampy?
I believe the other option was. $10,000?
You are correct.
And he was a white African elephant?
They never say he was white. I don't think elephants have white. Rhinos have white versus black, okay. But he is an African elephant, a full-grown African elephant. Congratulations.
I did just watch that, pull the clip for the KBBL give me something stupid. So
nice.
A little cheating there. But ready for medium question, Matt? You probably get ready. This one. You probably get this one with no problem. Why does Ned scream in Bart of Darkness?
Oh, in Bart of Darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. That's a tough one, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you want a hint?
Oh, Maud's flowers that he destroyed. They showed him to have any screams.
Bonus points. What is the name of the plant?
Oh.
What kind of plant is? Yeah.
I want to say fern, but I'm sure that's not true.
Starts with an F. Ficus.
Ficus. Ah, I knew. Damn it. All right.
My turn to stump you.
Give me this dumb today.
Give me this hard question that I have no chance of getting, apparently.
All right. I'm not even sure you've seen this episode, to be honest.
Okay. Well, that'd be hard, then. Right.
What was Santa's Little Helper's stage name when he was the Duff Beer mascot?
I have seen that episode exactly one time. I don't know. Can't remember.
It was Suds McDuff.
Suds McDuff. I should have. Go ahead.
As a bonus question, who replaced him at the end of the episode?
Laddie?
Duff McShark.
My God.
I know, right?
That's a name. That is quite a name. Okay. So let me think. Let me see if I can get this theme. So it was animals, right? We got animals?
That is correct. Okay. Simpson pets.
Okay. You ready for a hard one, Matt? And if you get this, I am impressed. You might just get it through guessing. I mean, that's certainly possible. How many rakes does Bob step on in Cape Fear?
Oh, God. I'm going to have to say 6.
It's incorrect.
Oh, nuts.
10.
10, my God, that poor man.
He steps on 10 rakes.
Especially after driving through the cactus patch and the speed bumps and the coffee. I mean, the poor guy.
And I did have a loose theme to mind, but I don't think you would identify it. I went with non-Halloween episodes that have kind of creepy undertones.
Okay, I can see that.
So Bart Sells His Soul, Bart of Darkness, and Cape Fear, they're all, you know, thriller kind of episodes. Where there's, you know, there's tension.
Right.
Okay, so I've got some more questions from Abby's gigantic list.
All right.
Because I'm not sure if we'll ever run out of them. I'll give you, how about this? I'm going to give you a quote, and you have to identify who said it.
Ooh, okay.
Here we go. Let's see the first one. I was always proud that you weren't a short man.
That'd be Grandpa.
That's correct. Abraham Simpson. Bonus points. Can you name the episode?
See, it's the episode with the old farmhouse. Grandpa Simpson versus sexual inadequacy.
Just Grandpa versus sexual inadequacy, but I'll give you the
credit. Oh, sorry, for Grandpa. It. Sure.
I'll give you the credit. Let's see. Assault weapons have gotten a lot of bad press lately, but they're manufactured for a reason. To take out today's modern super animals, such as the flying squirrel and electric eel.
Who said that? I want to say that was... that was Lenny.
In what episode?
The Cartridge Family.
That is correct. Now, let's do one more. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Democracy simply doesn't work.
The Kent Brockman in Deep Space Homer.
Incorrect.
Oh, no. It's definitely Kent Brockman, but it's not Deep Space Homer.
It's not Deep Space Homer.
No, it is
another episode with concerning space, in a way.
Oh, yes. Bart's Comet. My bad. Bart's Comet.
That is correct. Bart's Comet. It's pretty impressive, Matt. I don't know if I get any. I don't know if I could have done any of those. Probably gotten Kent Brockman. I don't know. I probably would not have gotten Lenny.
Yeah, because that meeting is so great because you have Krusty, you have Mo teaching you how to turn one gun into 5 guns, and then you've got Lenny with the assault rifles.
Yes. Where's our notes? There they are. So you guys can submit your own trivia, and I'll try and stump Matt with it because there's only so much I can do. And also submit themes, which we like to try and we've been using our own lately, but you are welcome to submit some. The well is dry at the moment, and if you've submitted one and I've missed it, I apologize. I get a lot of stuff happening, flying at me from the internet all day long, so I try and keep track, but it's really hard. So, Matt, it is that time once again, for the segment we end every episode with. It is time for Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever is part of the show, Matt, and I will rank the episodes categorically as we watch them, chronologically, eventually compiling a list of every episode ever, and how good they are. Now, where does this one go, Matt? It's a classic.
This is a tough one. It's definitely better than the last Treehouse of Horror, Treehouse of Horror 2.
Much better.
I mean, that puts much, much better. So we're definitely above 32 here. It's tough. It's pretty good. Like I said, this one is incredibly quotable. It's got a lot of great gags.
I will put it that especially giving time to a frame story and an intro, the stories themselves are like not, they don't feel rushed. Like they feel like they're given the proper time.
That's true. It's actually kind of really hard. I would probably put it somewhere around Camp Krusty, because I feel like most of the episodes around it have a lot of heart in them. There's a lot of emotional type things, and this episode really doesn't. And I feel like Camp Krusty doesn't as much either. So I would probably say it's better than Camp Krusty, but as far as that, I'm not sure.
It's really hard. It's so hard to categorize Treehouse of Horrors, because they're not like normal episodes, but. I think at this point I'm just going like, what do I enjoy more? Which would I rather rewatch at like on a moment's notice? And I think that's
going to make this one pretty high because it's got great rewatchability.
Yeah, I would say, okay, you answer me this question. I think it's the highest I would put it is number 10, right above A Streetcar Named Marge.
That's exactly what I was like. Would I rather watch this or Homer at the Bat? Definitely Homer at the Bat.
Yeah, and I think I'd put this right above A Streetcar Named Marge. And that's, I don't know. These are really hard because they're not like normal episodes. They don't have, but they're also, I think they're difficult in their own way in that, you know, they're three different stories. They're very short amount of time to tell those stories in. But I would just go right at number 10. And like, it's just so, so quotable. So like such a classic. I think that's a good spot for it. Just right on just number 10. You okay with that, Matt?
I can definitely be okay with that.
See, we have symbiosis going on right now. We think the same things. Treehouse of Horror, number 2. Yep, it's in the books now. So, Treehouse of Horror, number 3. See, I can't even. Why you gotta stop me, man? I can't even. We're not at 2. This is number 3. Treehouse of Horror, number 3. New number 10. Right above A Streetcar Named Marge. Right below Homer at the Bat. Lisa Substitute, still number 1. Last, now 64th place is Homer's Odyssey. And something will supplant it. Something will race to the bottom. We'll get there eventually. It's just going to be a little bit of time, I think.
Yeah. This is not a sprint. It's a marathon.
Yes, exactly. We got to pace ourselves. So, you can find this list on our website, simply thesimpsonsshow.com. You can find everything there. Links to Facebook, to our Twitter, new episodes, of course, and ways to donate to the show, which we'd obviously appreciate. This is a labor of love on both our parts. Next episode, Matt, what is it?
Let's see. Our next episode is going to be Itchy and Scratchy, the movie.
Which is a great one.
It's a fantastic one.
Bart and Homer episode.
I'm going to go watch it right now, actually.
It's not a bad idea. I'm probably going to pack after I edit this and post it. I think that'll do it for us. Before we go, you can find me on Twitter at MixMasterCereal. It's MixMasterCereal. You can also please check out my comic book podcast. It's Handsome Boys Comics Hour, handsomeboyscomicshour.com. Matt does not participate in social media. You will not find him.
That's true. However, one thing you guys and Robbie may not know, maybe I'm a big fan of webcomics, and I go through, I'm subscribed to about 100 at the moment. So if you want to get a message to me, encode it somehow in a webcomic, and more than likely I'll see it within a week or so.
So you read perhaps 0.001% of all webcomics on the internet?
No, I read a lot of them. I just, you know, the bad ones I stop reading. So make sure it's good.
Make sure it's good. All you webcomic people out there, Matt is the ultimate authority.
That's true.
Yep, that's absolutely right. But with that, we call it a day. I'm Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.